Good afternoon, and welcome to the second session of the 2020 BITS program. This is the Amazon program, and of course, for the third year, we have Peter Korn, who's the Director of Accessibility at Amazon Lab. What's that? Lab 26, whatever that is.
Lab 126, yes.
And then Josh, his last name was?
Josh Mealy.
Mealy, okay. Who was with us last year also. So what I'm going to do is let Erlene give the CEU code, since we are a CEU session.
Okay, this code is for those who registered for CEU credit. The beginning code is 6, C as in Charles, 3, 6, 0, repeating, 6, C as in Charles, 3, 6, 0.
Okay, well, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to turn it over to Peter and Josh and let them do their magic and see what new stuff they have for us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Peter Korn. I lead the accessibility effort in our device lab, Lab 126. For those who are curious what the numbering scheme is, the number one is, of course, the first letter of the alphabet, and the letter Z is the 26th letter of the alphabet, and the Amazon logo is the word Amazon with a curving arrow, and that arrow starts at the letter A and ends at Z, because we are the A to Z store. Joining me today is Dr. Joshua Mealy, Principal Accessibility User Researcher, and we are really delighted to be here again to share with you the news of our latest devices and the latest accessibility features, and help with any questions that we can. We'll take questions at the end. Before I get started, just to quickly review, of course, Amazon is a store. Amazon is also a manufacturer of devices. I just leaned over to turn off the A lady. I'll probably be mentioning her name a few times in the talk. So if you don't want yours to turn on and respond, you might want to do the same. We'll be talking about the latest in Alexa on our Echo devices, our Echo Show devices, Kindle books and Kindle e-readers. We, of course, are also known for Audible, Fire TV, Fire tablets, and a growing number of smart devices for smart homes. So I'd like to start by just sort of reviewing what devices are new since we were here last a year ago. We've introduced a new Kindle e-reader. This is our base model, and what's new and special about it is it also now has a built-in light. So now all Kindle devices have lights built in. They all have Bluetooth. VoiceView works over Bluetooth. They also will all play Audible audiobooks. And that model is at $89.99 when it's not otherwise on sale. We've also got a couple of new Fire tablets and some neat access features about them. We introduced just recently the Kindle Fire HD8 and HD8 Plus tablets. This starts at $89.99. They come with either 32 or 64 gigabytes of internal storage, which you can increase to up to a terabyte by sticking in an SD card. The also come with either 2 or 3 gigabytes of RAM. 2 gigahertz processor, USB-C connector, wireless charging, and like all Fire tablets, hands-free Alexa. We also, last year, introduced the new Fire HD 10 that is starting at $149.99. It has a 10-inch diagonal screen, the HD 8 and 8-inch diagonal screen. Also 32 or 64 gigabytes of internal storage, up to 512 gigabytes on the SD card. It has a 2 gigahertz octa-core processor. So lots of little bunny rabbits running really fast to deliver you music or movies or anything else. USB-C and hands-free Alexa. All of them have our full suite of built-in assistive technologies and access features. The VoiceView screen reader, a built-in magnifier that will do up to 10x magnification, large font features in several different enlargement sizes, the largest being 1.5x, and that works with magnification, so you can get 15x effective magnification of your text. Comes with a new access feature we've also just started shipping for customers with motor impairments, switch access. And of course, it plays all of our movies. You can also, of course, watch movies through apps from Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, etc. So let me turn the microphone over to Dr. Mealy to talk about some of the new access features for customers who are blind or low vision.
Thanks, Peter. So for now, I think stick to the tablet stuff because we'll get into TVs and our other devices a little later. But one of the things, so VoiceView has been a screen reader around for a number of years now. So it is a screen reader very much like other screen readers you might have used on other tablets and touchscreen devices. It lets you swipe and touch explore and interact with the standard apps. So you would use VoiceView to read your Kindle books or to read your audiobooks or to interact with your Amazon Prime, Prime Video account. That's what I was trying to get to. And so VoiceView is a full-featured screen reader, but we do keep adding stuff. And the stuff that we've added most recently is, in particular, the ability to do Braille screen input. So if you are vexed by interacting with the on-screen keyboard, finding, typing on that QWERTY keyboard, there's an alternative now. When you use VoiceView, you can go into two different types of modes of Braille screen input, whether you lay it on the tabletop and use it like a Perkins, or you can do it in screen away mode. I've got a little demo recorded of that we can play for you in a minute. But before we do that demo, maybe I'll touch on a couple of other things where we've also added the ability to automatically select described content if it's available. So in the tablet settings, you can go in and you can say you can check a checkbox that says I want description when it's available. So that's obviously desirable for us. The tablet, as Peter mentioned, also has this new switch access for folks with physical accessibility needs. It unfortunately does not yet work well with the screen reader. So if you're blind and you also need that, we are not yet supporting that functionality. Let's see, Peter, what else should I cover here? The dictation keyboard. I want to mention that. So as referenced, the QWERTY keyboard can sometimes be a little irritating to work with a screen reader. So we've now got a dictation button that you can tap right in the middle of the keyboard. It's extremely easy to use. So now you can actually dictate into an edit field as well as Braille screen input into it. Peter, you think we should play the Braille screen input demo?
Yeah.
Cool.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm going to demo Braille screen input on a Fire tablet. Braille screen input is just a way of typing text using Braille instead of a standard QWERTY keyboard. And it works on all Fire tablets, and it works in any edit field. So today I'll be demoing inside the Amazon shopping app, which I have launched already. So I'm going to show you. Here we are.
Voice search, double tap, search, edit is editing.
So the edit field is editing. If I touch down at the bottom of the screen, I'll see that there's a keyboard.
CVBNKL search.
So that's a standard QWERTY keyboard, a virtual keyboard. It's not always very much fun to type on. So anytime I see that keyboard, if I want to launch Braille screen input instead, all I need to do is triple tap with two fingers anywhere on the screen. So I'll do that now.
Braille screen input, UEB, tabletop, power button to the right. Swipe with four fingers for help.
So we heard a few things there. It said that Braille screen input was active. It told me that it was using UEB, so I know that when I type, I need to be using contracted Braille. It also told me that it's in tabletop mode, and the orientation for using tabletop mode is with the power button to the right. So keeping me nice and clear on how to orient the device. And then finally, it told me swipe with four fingers for help. And that's really awesome. I can swipe once I'm in Braille screen input. I can swipe anytime with four fingers to get to hear help tips on Braille screen input. I'll do that now just to see what kind of tips I'll get.
To calibrate, tap three fingers with the right hand, then tap three fingers with the left hand. To hear the next tip, swipe with four fingers.
Instead of hearing the next tip, I'll show you more tips in a minute, but instead of hearing the next tip, I'm going to do what it said to do. I'm going to calibrate so that I can start typing. I'll first tap three fingers with my right hand, then three fingers with my left hand to show it where I want the dots to be. Here I go.
Calibrated, tabletop, swipe with four fingers for help.
So I can still swipe with four fingers, or I can just start typing. Let's say I want to shop for men's jeans. So I'll type men's, and then space, and then jeans. It'll echo the characters as I type them.
M25.
Oops, I don't want 2-5. So I'm going to backspace. I'm going to use a single finger to swipe left.
2-5.
And I'm going to try that again.
2-6.
That's E-N.
S.
So that's
Sierra.
Men's. If I swipe right with one finger, that's the space, and it'll echo the word.
Men's.
And let's type jeans.
D.
Oops, not
Delta.
D. So I'll backspace Delta. That again. So my fingers have drifted a little bit since I haven't been typing. I've been talking instead of typing. So I'm going to recalibrate.
Four calibrated. Tabletop, swipe with four fingers for help.
So now I'm going to type jeans without talking.
Stay off. Two. N. S. Jeans.
So that's great. I type jeans and then I swipe to the right with one finger. Let's say I want to delete the word jeans and type shirts instead. I can swipe left with two fingers to delete the whole word.
Jeans.
And I can type shirts.
146. I. R. T. S.
And if I swipe
Sierra.
Swipe right with a finger, it'll put a space and speak the word.
Shirts.
So I've also showed you that I've been, the character echoing has been words and characters, but let's say I didn't want all of that echoing. I can adjust the keyboard echo. I scrub with two fingers. A scrub is moving your fingers up and then back down and then letting go. So if I scrub with two fingers, I can adjust the keyboard echo.
Word echo.
So that's just words.
No echo.
That's no echo.
Word and letter echo.
And obviously words and letters, which is what we had before. Another thing that we can do in Braille screen input is I can do screen away mode instead of tabletop mode. Tabletop mode is where I have the device lying on the table with the screen facing up. Screen away mode is exactly what it sounds like. It's when you put the face the screen away from you and hold the device between two hands, and you can type on the screen with it facing away from you. That's useful when you don't have a table to rest things on. I'm not going to demo that actually right now, but it works pretty much the same way as tabletop mode does. The thing that I want to show you is some of the other tips, because that'll tell you more about how the Braille screen input works. So I'm going to swipe with four fingers to hear the next tip.
To exit Braille screen input, perform a two-finger triple tap away from the keys. To hear the next tip, swipe with four fingers.
So that's nice. The way to get into and out of Braille screen input is a two-finger triple tap to get in and to get out. It's easy to remember. I'm going to swipe with four fingers again.
To switch between tabletop and screen away mode, scrub with three fingers. To hear the next tip for tabletop mode, put the power button to the right. For screen away mode, put the power button at the top. To hear the next tip to type with space, swipe right. To press enter, swipe right with two fingers. To hear the next tip, swipe with four fingers.
So that's a cool thing. Instead of, so if I had typed and then was finished typing and I wanted to perform the search, I could just swipe to the right with two fingers. And that's the equivalent of hitting return and also exiting Braille screen input. So it executes the search and pulls me out of the Braille screen input mode so I can interact with my search results. I'm going to I'm going to swipe with four fingers to hear the next tip.
To delete the last character, swipe left. To delete the last word, swipe left with two fingers.
So
to hear the next tip, swipe with four fingers.
So we knew about that. So so I think I've pretty much showed you what I wanted to. So this can be used anywhere. Anytime you're typing into an edit field, you can have it be, you can adjust whether or not you want it contracted or uncontracted in the Braille settings of the accessibility settings. And this is a new feature of a voice view on Fire OS in Amazon tablets. So sorry if that was a little more detailed than some of you were ready for, but I think it's really it's a really exciting feature because of the it makes it so much easier for people who know Braille to be able to enter type text on one of our tablets. Peter, why don't you pick it back up from here?
Great. Thanks, Josh. So I wanted to now switch to our next set of devices, Fire TV. We've got lots of new Fire TV news. We have new Fire TV Edition televisions. We have an all new Fire TV stick, a new cube, and soundbars. So let me walk through those. First, the 4K Fire TV stick. This stick is similar to our original stick, but it's physically slightly larger. We need a little bit more space to fit all 4K pixels and Ultra HD video, Dolby Vision, which is a way of showing one of several different technologies for showing a broader range of colors and contrast in a video stream. Two other technologies are HDR and HDR10 plus, both of which are built in for a list price of $49.99. The all new Fire TV Cube, some of you may have the original Cube. This new Cube supports, as before, 4K Ultra HD, but it adds Dolby Vision, HDR and HDR10 plus, also a faster processor. For those who don't know, the Fire TV Cube is a mashup of an Echo Dot with a Fire TV. It's sort of the footprint of a dot, but squared off rather than in a disc, and then the same height and width and length, making it a physical cube. One of the other neat things about the Fire TV Cube is it comes with an infrared emitter. And so you can plug in a little cable that comes with it and point that emitter somewhere else in your stereo rack and use the A-Lady to control the other parts of your stereo using infrared signals. So you can say, turn on my TV, and the Fire TV Cube, once it has been introduced to your TV, will send that infrared signal to turn the TV on, to change the volume of the TV, even to change the channels of your cable box. So you can say tune to cable channel 37 or what have you, and it will send a 3 and a 7 button press, if you will, over infrared to control your cable box. We've gotten into the soundbar business. The Nebula soundbar is a mashup of a soundbar with a Fire TV built in. At $229.99, it offers fantastic sound, 4K Ultra HD, streaming it up to 60 frames per second, Dolby Vision HDR, HDR 10 Plus. Like the Fire TV Cube, it has far-field voice enablement, so from the comfort of your couch with no remote needed, you can just call out to the soundbar and ask Alexa to do things. We have been working with Best Buy now for a couple of years, and their store brands, Insignia and Toshiba, sell a variety of televisions at a variety of sizes, all with Fire TV goodness fully built in, from $149.99 up through $379.99, ranging from 24 inches diagonal to 50 inches diagonal. And the larger ones are all 4K, Ultra HD, Dolby Vision, et cetera, et cetera. I've mentioned Fire TV goodness a couple of times. Fire TV goodness is not only Alexa and a huge library of apps, many of which are video streaming apps. That includes not only, of course, Prime Video, but Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV Plus, et cetera. And these streaming apps generally work either well with VoiceView, our screen reader for all of our devices, the magnifier, et cetera, or they are self-voicing. Some of these apps decided to go the self-voicing route. Netflix is an example of that. But they are accessible, and you can watch your favorite Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus apps on any Fire TV or Fire TV Edition television, soundbar, cube, etc. I'd now like to pass the baton back to Josh to say a few words about what's new. Oh, no. I'm going to keep the baton one more moment. So we've got a bunch of built-in access features. I mentioned VoiceView. We also have the built-in magnifier, which is a really nice magnifier. The screen reader and magnifier work together at the same time. So if you want things enlarged as well as voiced, of course, you can have that. But we've introduced a new access feature called Text Banner. Text Banner is a feature that came out of our engineers running into some low vision customers at the CSUN Assistive Technology Conference. These customers said that they had very narrow fields of vision and really wanted something that would increase the clarity and contrast of the text that they are viewing. And at our yearly internal accessibility hackathon last October, they put together a prototype. We then sat down with Amazon employees who had retinitis pigmentosa or macular degeneration and refined the feature over a number of test cycles and a few months. And employees with the narrow field of view of RP or macular degeneration really loved the feature, so we decided to release it, and it will be coming soon to every Fire TV we have made. So if you already own a Fire TV, coming soon, this will just appear on your device. So let's take a quick look at Text Banner. This is a video that I put together for an internal Amazon audience, we're just going to take a look at the text banner piece of it. Here we go. So when we think about customers with vision impairments, about 0.6%, 39 million, are what's called legally blind. Their best eye can't see more than 2200, and or their widest field of view is less than 20 degrees. Another 246 million are what we consider low vision. That's between 2070 and 2200. And then we have what we might consider more mild impairments like color blindness and age-related presbyopia. So when we think about the Fire TV experience, and we've done a lot of great accessibility work there, this is the default screen. This is what that would look like if you've got mild cataracts. And actually, just last week, we had a lovely review from Steve Aquino in Forbes magazine talking about how the high contrast interface of Fire TV works well for him, better than Apple TVOS. If your vision is worse, though, you might find that you can't read the smaller text, and so you might want something like our magnifier. This is, again, built into Fire TV. It's in every Fire TV we've ever made. And with that same level of cataracts, with a 3x magnification, the interface is quite accessible. Of course, if your cataracts are worse, or really you can't see much at all, you would probably want something like our screen reader.
Voice View Ready. Welcome to Voice View on Fire TV. If you started Voice View accidentally, press the back button to turn off Voice View.
And so with these features, we are addressing everyone with most vision impairments. However, these aren't great solutions for customers like the 67 million who have glaucoma, who have central vision loss and can only see around the edges of their vision, or the 25 to 30 million worldwide with macular degeneration, or folks who have retinitis pigmentosa, whose vision closes over time to a very small tunnel vision, something that a number of our employees have, actually. And, you know, one of the key concepts with accessibility is that customers want to use what senses and facilities they have. So if you have very crisp acuity with a very small tunnel, magnification won't be a good choice because things will be too big and you get lost where you are on the screen. Or maybe you've got a wider field of view, but it's not crisp and in focus. So we've developed a new access feature that we'll be launching later this year called Text Banner. And it's designed for customers with glaucoma, retinitis pigmentosa, who have a very narrow field of vision. And this came from conversations that our engineers had with customers at the CSUN Accessibility Conference last year. It was developed from scratch, leveraging code in our screen magnifier. The first prototype was developed at the Amazon-wide accessibility hackathon that we host and run, and refined with a number of Amazonians with narrow fields of view. And based on their very strong positive feedback from those Amazonians, we've decided to release it. And that'll be coming later in July, in Walter Release 2. Let's take a quick look at what that is like. So here I have Fire TV. I simply go over to Settings, over to Accessibility, and I can go and turn on Text Banner. Once I turn Text Banner on, you see a banner appears on the screen containing the text of the focused item and the related text. So here, Text Banner on is visible, and then way off to the right is text associated with that. If you've got a narrow field of view, it's going to be really difficult to figure out what you should be looking at. And so Text Banner puts it all in one place. Similarly, on the home screen, as I come down here to something like Star Trek, you see all of the ancillary information available to me there, And with the fast forward buttons, I can go backward and forward through it. So that is our new text banner feature. And we are looking forward to that coming soon to Fire TVs around the globe. With that now, let me turn the baton over to Josh.
So I'm going to cover a couple of other things that we've got existing and coming for you on Fire TV. So the as I mentioned earlier, we've got a setting on the tablets that allows you to prefer audio description when it's available. We now have a similar feature on TV. So that's you know, pretty self-explanatory. We're also, you know, you guys get to get a little sneak preview of something that we're about to release. So for those of you who have a Fire TV or who have used a Fire TV, our VoiceView screen reader works very well on Fire TV. You basically navigate, you use all of the commands on your remote as you navigate around the TV. VoiceView speaks everything that you're doing. However, one of the things that we didn't make easy until now is the ability to adjust the speech settings. And sometimes, I think for those of you who use text-to-speech, you know that the default speech settings are often a little slow, and you want to be able to adjust them. Also, the voice volume, it's really nice to be able to adjust it independently from the audio volume of the movie. And we had those features, but you had to go into the settings, the TV settings, to adjust them. So we've added a quick speech settings feature, which is really going to make it so much easier and nicer to adjust what your screen reader, how your screen reader behaves. I've got a little demo that I recorded for it yesterday. It's a lot shorter than the one we played a minute ago. And Peter's going to play that for you. Hi there. This is a quick demo of an upcoming voice view feature for Fire TV. It allows you to set your voice rate and voice volume at any time while you're watching TV. You no longer need to dive into the settings and adjust them in there and then come back out. So it's really quick and easy to do, and you can do it at any time. All you need to do is hold down the play pause button as a modifier and use the left and right up and down keys on your remote to adjust the speech rate and the speech volume. So here I am, I've got my Fire TV, I'm holding my remote. I'm gonna press the right key so you can hear. This is just normal Fire TV.
Your videos, so, 4 of 9.
So that is too slow for me.
3, 5 of 9.
So that is too slow. So I'm gonna hold down the button, the play pause as a modifier, and I'm going to press the up.
Press up or down to adjust speech rate. Press left or right to cycle through speech settings.
So I'm gonna press up a couple times to speed up the speech rate.
1.2, 1.5x, 1.75x, 2x.
Okay, that's more like it. So now I let go of the modifier key, and now I can use my arrow keys to navigate around the TV.
Your videos, 4 of 9.
So that's much nicer. I can deal with that much better.
Live, 3 of 9.
Okay, now if I wanted it a little bit louder or quieter, what I can do is I can again hold down the play pause as a modifier, and I'm going to press the right.
Press up or down, speech volume.
So now I'm on speech volume.
Press
I could have pressed.
To adjust speech volume.
Could have
press
pressed right.
Speech settings.
Could have pressed right or left to go to the other setting. There's only two, and they cycle around. So if I press the up.
30, 40, 50, 60, 70.
So that's pretty loud. I'm going to go all the way 40, back down. 30. So that's.
30.
20 is the minimum. I'm going to let go. And now, and I, as I navigate around,
2 of 9.
Now it's at my new volume. And those are settings that will persist across restarts and all of that. So it's quick and easy to change your settings. No longer do you need to dive all the way into the settings. That's that. You know, the thing that it wasn't totally easy to hear the volume changes because I think there was some automatic gain control going on there. But one of the things that I wanted to point out is that it's nice to have 20 volume of 20, you know, 20% be the minimum. That way you can't accidentally turn the voice all the way off. You can, of course, turn the screen reader off if you want to. So the other thing that I wanted to mention is as you know, Amazon offers Prime Video, and we have a strong commitment to bringing you audio description, and Amazon is proud to have, at this point anyway, more audio description offerings than any other streaming service. You can look at the ACB audio description project. Our stuff is, you know, all of our offerings are listed there, and also much more information about audio description and Amazon. So we're now offering audio description in many new countries. We're offering audio description on a number of new devices. Some, you know, for each device family, whether you're viewing on your PC or your Mac or your iOS device or your Android phone or your Fire TV. These each have different capabilities. All these different devices have different capabilities, and audio description is coming as we expand our audio description offerings. We're also expanding the number of devices that you can use audio description on. You can now also watch videos with audio description on your Alexa devices that have screens. So not on your Echo Dot yet, but if you've got an Echo Show or an Alexa device with a screen, you can turn on, you can view videos on that, and you can turn on audio description and use your voice to start and stop and do all that stuff. Very convenient. We've also made a number of improvements to our discovery and information about audio description. So on a number of devices, we have new badging and information in the search results that let you know what audio description, you know, when audio description is available for a particular film, which is very nice if you've done a search and you want to know, is this going to have audio description before I start watching it? We're now bringing you that information on more devices, with more to come in the future, I'm sure. We've also added, there were some issues that made it difficult to watch audio description, audio described content on the PC side. We've added a number of keyboard shortcuts to make that navigation much easier. That's documented on, you can get to that documentation from the ACB Audio Description ADP website. Finally, I just want to mention that Prime Video has also added support for large fonts on iOS. So if you're watching Prime Video, you know, if you're using the Prime Video app on your iPad or iPhone, now the Prime Video app respects the large font settings of your operating system, and so for those who benefit from that, that's a really nice improvement. I think that's it, Peter. I'm going to pass it back to you.
Thanks, Josh. Josh mentioned that we're coming to more countries. If you find yourself in Canada, over 900 Amazon titles are with audio description in Canada, over 800 in the UK, and we're bringing up France with over 300, Mexico with over 300, and Brazil is the final one so far with over 200 titles. Of course, in the US, we have over 1,800 titles. And we have something called IMDb TV. This is a channel, if you will, of Prime Video that is ad supported. So you don't have to have a Prime subscription to watch IMDb for free. And 27 IMDb TV titles have audio description. Switching to the next big topic, which is smart home, we have been doing more in the smart home space. Some of you may remember last year we introduced an Amazon Basics microwave oven. This is a $59.99 oven. It was actually the best-selling microwave on Amazon, I think, last Christmas. And it pairs over Bluetooth with another Echo device that you have nearby, and then you can simply use your voice to ask the microwave to pop a few ounces of popcorn or to reheat 1.5 pounds of frozen chicken or any one of a number of things. You can even ask how much time is left as it's cooking something. And that has now been joined by the Amazon Smart Oven. The Smart Oven is actually a multi-purpose device. It has an air fryer setting, as well as a microwave setting and an oven setting. It's much larger. It's available for $249.99. And at that price, it comes with a bundled Echo Dot that you can use with it. And one of the coolest things about both the microwave and the smart oven, starting at the beginning of this year, they are available with a free tactile overlay that has in UEB all of the numbers and other symbols that are available on the touch panel in Braille. And if you already have a microwave or a smart oven, if you go to add the $1 tactile overlay to your cart and you have purchased one of these before, your price will drop to zero when you go to check out. And speaking of Alexa and Echo, we've got a bunch of new refreshed A-Lady devices. So in the Echo Show family, these are our devices with screens. We now have the Echo Show 5, a 5-inch diagonal screen Echo that works really nicely as a bedroom clock. For $89.99, it has a built-in camera that you can physically slide a cover over to create a physical barrier from it working, but it's great for video calls. The Echo Show 8, which is an 8-inch diagonal screen with otherwise the same functionality, for $129.99. And then the all-new Echo Show with a 10-inch diagonal screen for $229.99. If you have a Ring doorbell, you can also use the Echo Show to drop in on the doorbell. Somebody can see who is at the front door that way. We've also refreshed our non-screen Echo family devices, the all-new original Echo, the third generation with better sound for $99.99. A new Echo Dot, third generation, also better sound at $49.99. We found that there were over 1 billion requests. What time is it to our Echo devices? So we decided to build a multi-segment display into an Echo Dot, which has the name Echo Dot with Clock at $59.99. And we've now got a kids edition Dot that comes with free time for Alexa and a bunch of kid-friendly content for $99.99. Lots and lots of our customers love listening to music on their Echo, and so we introduced the Echo Studio. This is our largest Echo device. It has 5 speakers built into it, with a nice large bass speaker built into it. You can take two of them and pair them with a Fire TV to set up a Dolby Atmos playback system with the speakers that are firing upwards to bounce off of the ceiling to give you the height channel, as well as the subwoofers built in. The Echo Flex going in the other direction. This has a tiny 0.6-inch mini speaker and 3.5-millimeter line-out jack that's designed to just plug in to the wall, which typically is around baseboard height. So if in your stairs you want to have an Echo or in a hallway, you can plug in an accessory to the Echo Flex, which might be a nightlight with a motion sensor that turns on as you walk by, or a smart light. Smart light with a motion sensor or a air freshener. These are the Echo Flex is $24.99, and the smart light motion sensor is $14.99. For those who don't want to be away from their A-Lady while they're in a car, we've introduced the Echo Auto. This is optimized for listening to human speech in what's often a noisy car with lots of glass reflections around it. It's a great, the Echo Auto pairs with your phone. That's how it gets internet access. And with that pairing, you can also then ask your A-Lady to make a call while you're in the car, and it will use that phone pairing to do that. It otherwise uses the sound system in your car for the output of what the A-Lady is saying. Hands-free Alexa for $49.99. And we've also now gotten into the wearable business. We have three on-the-go Echo devices, the Echo Buds, which are a pair of great-sounding earbuds that you put in your ear, pair with your phone with Bluetooth. But the lovely thing about them is they also have Alexa wake word detection. So as you're out and about, you can just ask her for information and she will hear you there in your ears and reply to you in your ears. The Echo Buds have three microphones in each earbud, one inside the ear canal and then two on the outside. The two on the outside are at an angle pointing towards your mouth. And so that does our beam forming technology to have very clean audio from the speaker. And the microphone inside the ear canal also hears your voice as resonating through your ears. So if somebody walks up to somebody else who's wearing the Echo Buds and tries to invoke the A-Lady, it won't work because it's not also coming from inside your head. That's available for $129.99. And then we've introduced what we call a new category of device, day one devices. These are more experimental devices that we think our customers might love, but they're a little less, in a less proven area. And so we wanted to let our customers explore these day one edition products alongside us. So we have the Echo Frames. These are eyeglasses with Echo Wake Word built into them. They've got microphones in the frames, as well as a touch panel on the side so that you can swipe along the frame to interact with Alexa. Those are invite only at $179.99 before they become wide availability where we will be pricing them at $249.99, and they work with eyeglass prescriptions. And they come in a couple different sizes. And then finally, the Echo Loop. This is Echo in a ring with the tiniest of speakers and microphones built into them. Invite only at $129.99, and then $179.99 thereafter. It has a haptic buzzing device inside it, so that if you get a phone call, you will feel the ring buzz. You can then tap the button, hold your hand cupped up to your ear and mouth, and it's like you've got a phone without a phone that you're holding up in midair by your ear. The final Echo product we announced is the Echo Glow. This is a smart light that is a multicolored light. You can program it to slowly lower the light over time to help lull you to sleep for $29.99. I'd like to turn the baton once more over to Josh to talk about the new access and accessibility features in all of these fun new Echo devices.
Hey again. So, I mean, one of the things that I want to, I'm going to talk about a couple different things. I'm going to talk about show and tell, which is a feature many of you may have heard about. A lot of the time we, you know, if you're blind or visually impaired, the screens on the Echo devices, the Echo shows, the various ones that we've been talking about, may not seem like many of us might care about screens as much, because they're often very small screens. So Peter mentioned that, number one, we're releasing devices with bigger screens. So magnification is a little bit more meaningful when you have a little bit of screen real estate to work with. So that's cool. And then the other reason why our community might want a device with a screen is because those devices also come with a camera, and those cameras are being leveraged to provide a new and exciting function on Alexa. We call Show and Tell. It's basically a product identification tool, and it is not a simple barcode recognition. It actually uses a bunch of different computer vision techniques to recognize different types of products. It will recognize barcodes if it sees a barcode, but it uses a bunch of different information basically to figure out what it's looking at, including OCR. So if it can't figure out anything, if it sees no barcode, if it sees no product that it recognizes, no branding that it recognizes, it will use OCR to at least read you what's on the label. So it's a very versatile product identification system. And all you need to do is hold up your product in front of your Echo Show device with a camera and say, hey lady, what am I holding? If it's the first time you've ever done it, it leads you through a little bit of a tutorial to make sure you know where to hold the product and how far away to hold it. And it gives you little hints as it goes to help you target, help you hold it directly in front of the camera, provides audio feedback for when it sees something and when it doesn't. And one of the nice things is that because it's not using a barcode database, it works with many products that that have been previously difficult to identify. For example, Trader Joe's products, which I don't think we have an available barcode database for, are readily identifiable using Show and Tell. So we do have a video that we want to play. Yeah, let's play that video, and then I'll talk about the other things that I wanted to mention.
A house.
I am totally blind. It's been 8 years this December. I went through every single room and reorganized it so that I knew where every single thing was, because in my house, I was not going to feel blind. Alexa, what am I holding?
It looks like T Forte, World of Teas.
But when you have other people in the household, things get moved all the time.
At Vista Center.
Hi, Brett.
Hi, Stacy.
Ready to go?
I guess so.
All right. Let's go test it out.
Okay. Stacy Grijalva.
My job is to help people with visual impairments and to see how technology can affect people's lives and make them feel better about what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Brett Fowler.
I lost my vision when I was 10 years old. I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I do a lot of cooking. And there's a lot of things I can't see.
The whole idea for Show and Tell came about from customer feedback, actually. Challenges around identifying things in their pantry.
A can of food.
And we thought, yeah, we can do this. We can help here.
Sarah Kapliner.
I'm going to give you a product and then you're going to say,
Alexa, what am I holding?
Let's see.
Brett holds up a box.
It looks like 365 everyday value macaroni.
Great. That's awesome.
He holds a jar.
I think that's garlic powder.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's critical for us that we're working with our customers, building with them, not just building for them.
They really need our feedback to tell them what we need.
You'll hear sounds to help you position your item.
Holly Clark moves a can.
It looks like organic canned pineapple.
Whoa, is that what it is? Oh my gosh.
All these devices that are acting as your eyes, I think it's very revolutionary. For me, the less stress I have to put on somebody else is less stress on me.
Brett smiles.
And it makes me feel good.
The Amazon logo.
So I just, on a personal note, I want to mention that it was, you know, my pleasure to help the team that was working on this, help them understand the use cases, help them understand how our community of blind and visually impaired people was going to use a product like this, use a function like this. And I'm really pleased with what they were able to produce. This is a feature that on a relatively inexpensive device with a camera can provide a very high level of functionality and information for independence. So that's really an exciting feature. I want to cover a few other accessibility features, or just features of Alexa that we've put in recently. One is the preferred speaking rate. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of the time, those of us who are very accustomed to using text-to-speech feel like things move a little too slowly when they're designed for the general public. So we recently allowed a new feature on Alexa called preferred speaking rate. You can now tell her to speak faster or slower. If you want her to speak slower than she normally would, she can do that. We've gotten that request from a number of people who are very unaccustomed to using text-to-speech, but for our community in general, we want faster, and we can get that. So you just tell her to speak faster, and she can go up to, I think, 2.5 times normal speaking rate. If you want to go back to normal, you just say, speak at your normal speaking rate. And that applies across most Alexa experiences. So if you, once you set your preferred speaking rate, it applies to that device. You need to change it for, if you've got several devices in your house, you need to do the adjustment on a device by device basis, but it does apply to most experiences once it's set. So you can, if you are, asking for the weather or asking for the time, those responses get spoken in that faster or slower speaking rate. I also, there's a bunch of stuff that we do that Alexa can do that really isn't part of accessibility per se, but it's extremely delightful for us. And so I just want to remind everybody that you can use your Alexa devices to make purchases. So you can, if you know what you want, you can say, buy such and such, And that is, it's not necessarily easy today to make comparison shopping, but if you do know exactly what you want, it's very easy to request it. If you've ordered something in the past, then that is one of the, you know, that'll be a default, and she'll ask you if you want to do that. She can put it in your cart, or you can buy it now and it can get sent. And of course, you can also say, where's my stuff? If you want to know when your things are going to arrive, and she can tell you when you ordered something and when it is likely to be delivered. Of course, we can also use Alexa to read Kindle books out loud. So if you've got a bunch of Kindle books in your library, you can ask her to start reading, and you can navigate, you know, you can say, go to the next chapter and stuff like that. Same thing with Audible books. That's extremely, you know, extremely powerful for people who read audiobooks. You can have Alexa play your audiobook and stop it when you need to stop, just all with a voice command. So I think that's really, I mentioned already that we have, now we've enabled audio description and Prime Video viewing on devices with screens. So that's another reason that you might want to have a device with a screen. It's very easy to request a particular video. You just, you know, say, play, you know, Mrs. Maisel episode 2, season 3. You actually cannot yet turn on audio description with your voice, but you can use the VoiceView screen reader to do that. You can also ask your Echo device to turn on or off VoiceView, which makes it very easy to get into and out of a sort of screen interaction mode. So for example, if you wanted to turn on your audio description, you would need to turn on VoiceView and then use the screen reader to navigate to the language settings and then turn on the audio description. Or your magnifier, whatever is your preferred technology. And finally, I just want to mention that we are, Alexa is a fabulous source of information, and we're expanding her knowledge about accessibility and Amazon's accessibility features. So we want you to be able to ask Alexa questions about our accessible technology. We want her to be able to answer questions about how to use your screen reader, how to use your magnifier, what is accessibility, what does accessibility mean to you. Some of those answers are currently available, and more are coming, so stay tuned. I think that's I've hit the end of my material. Peter, you want to take it back?
We've come to the end of our prepared remarks, weighing in at just about an hour, which means I think we may have a few minutes for questions before our hosts need to close the room and prepare it for the next attendees. Cindy, Richard?
Yeah, you reached 309 people in this room at one point, Richard,
yeah,
just letting you know.
I was watching it.
And I wanted to just share, this is Cindy, just wanted to share that the Echo Show is on sale right now. for $20 off, because I just purchased one. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
I have a quick question, even though I'm a facilitator. You know, with all the software updates that you've done to different devices, how far back would they go, like, say, on tablets and on the original Cube, Fire Cube?
So to date... I'll take the Fire one first. To date, we have managed to bring every access feature back to the original first device we ever made, the first Fire TV that we got into the market with, I think 4 or 5 years ago. So that's really important to us. We haven't been able to go quite as far back with tablets. We've been making tablets now close to 10 years. But any tablet that already has VoiceView on it, all of the new VoiceView features have been coming to that tablet. Josh, remind me if I'm mistaken about this. I think some of our earlier tablets weren't able to detect six simultaneous finger touches, and so Braille screen input might not be able to go back all the way back to every VoiceView device. But we try real hard to make that happen.
Diana?
Yes, I have a couple of questions. I'm very excited about the smart oven. Is it a convection oven?
Yes, that is one of its features.
Great. And also, how much is the Echo, the sound, I can't remember what it's called, the sound bar that or has the five speakers?
The Nebula sound bar. Well, so there's two devices. There's the Nebula sound bar, which is a wide, otherwise small, like a, I don't know, like a very long, very fat roll of kitchen paper towels. That fits typically underneath your TV with far field Alexa capability and lots of speakers and Fire TV built in. So you'd plug that into your older TV or just a non-Fire TV edition television. And that's $229.99 unless we're running a sale at the moment. The other one is the Echo Studio. This is that really great sounding speaker with five built-in speakers inside it, tweeters and woofers and ceiling facing to bounce off the ceiling for Dolby Atmos, and you can pair two of them together with a Fire TV to get great Dolby Atmos sound, and that's $199.99 on sale.
And the Echo Studio itself is shaped like a it's like a giant Echo Dot, so it's round and sits on a tabletop, so it's about the size and shape of half a soccer ball. If you sliced a soccer ball in half and set it on your put it somewhere, that's about the size and shape. It sounds amazing.
Wesley?
Yes, on the Echo frames, can like Alexa or the Echo Frame show any information in the lenses, you know, like a, you know, like text information or close up view or like a pick up something or vid streaming video of something in the lenses of the Echo frames?
No, the frames, the technology is audio only plus that touch bar on the side of the frame. But it does not have a heads up display like the Google Glass product. This is frames with audio in and audio out only. No camera in it either. More questions?
Alan?
Yeah, mine's a procedural question. And I guess, let's say you got like a Fire TV and you've got one of these Nebula sound bars, and you've got an Echo in your room. How do you keep them from tripping over each other when the smart word is said? Do you have to like turn it off in some cases on some of the devices, or what? Or am I just missing the boat?
Yeah. So you've got several options. You can give them different names, so they will answer optionally to Alexa, Echo, computer, or Amazon. So you could just give them different names, and that's one way of talking to the different day ladies in the room. Or you can just mute some of them. Or we actually have some interesting technology. We call it ESP, but I forget what it stands for, to actually have multiple Echo devices that hear you asking. They have a quick conversation among themselves and try to figure out which is closest to where the request came from. And then the closest one will answer. So I've got the bedroom that I live in, and we have a guest bedroom next door and a hallway in between. And as I walk down the hallway, if I call out to a lady, generally the one closest to my voice is the one that answers.
Diane?
Yes. Well, I have several questions, but I will just ask one. I also have a comment. It would be nice if those was to have multiple Amazon devices could give them their own personal names and not just be limited to the Amazon ones, number one. Number two, my question is there any way that we, for the Alexa, if I can get her volume to turn up a little, sometimes I have my music or whatever streaming at one volume, but I would like her, if I ask her a question, to speak up a little, you know, for those of us that are kind of hard of hearing.
Thank you very much for that feedback. I'll take that back to my colleagues at Amazon who work on her. A little bit of background as to why we have not yet allowed folks to give her their own name. The smarts in this device are fairly limited. In order to offer Alexa for $49 in a dot that can be across the room or even in another room as you're in the hallway walking toward her, and her to be able to hear you and understand you without all the time streaming audio back to the cloud, all of the wake word detection runs on device. To have all of that capability in a device that's only $49 means that we need to do extensive training of a small number of words in a lot of different acoustic environments in order to make that happen. And so if you were to want to give her your own name, that same acoustic modeling would be necessary in order to provide that functionality at that low price. So that's been a barrier to that feature request for a while now.
And I just want to jump in and mention to Diane that just to make sure you know about it, it may not address all of your needs, but you can use your voice to ask her to speak up. So you can say, turn the volume up, turn the volume down. You can also, by the way, on many devices, not all, but you can also adjust the treble and the bass. So you can say, turn up the bass, turn down the bass, turn up the treble. You can even say, turn up the mid-range. So it's got many of our devices have a 3-band equalizer that can be accessed with just your voice.
We have time for one more question, and then right. I have to give the ending CEU right. codes. Andrea, you get our last question.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and hello, Erlene. It's been a long time since we've spoken. Peter, you mentioned that, is there a separate app for Prime Video for the iPhone?
Yes. So we've got a number of dedicated apps for a number of our services. The Prime Video app on iPhone is one. There's a Kindle app. There's a shopping app. There's an Alexa app, an Amazon Music app, a Cloud Drive app if you want to store things in our cloud. So the Amazon Prime Video app should be in the Apple App Store.
Amazon Fresh.
I use it regularly. An app for Prime Fresh. And it supports now header navigation. A number of other things, as Josh mentioned, it also will respect your large font size setting.
Thank you. Nice.
Okay.
That's this code.
This code is for those who registered for CEU credit. The code is 8, B as in Bravo, 8, 6, F as in Frank. Again, repeating, 8, B as in Bravo, 8, 6, F is in Frank.
And thank everybody for being here in Winnis Prime Day.
Thank you so much for coming. We have not yet announced Prime Day, so I'm sorry I can't share that with you. But of course, we work hard to offer our products at sales a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for when that's coming.
Well, there were 309 people here, just as information.
Yep.
Thank you, Peter.
Our pleasure. Thank
Always
you for
glad to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, folks.